Today's Old Testament reading is from Zephaniah chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold, and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And so also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will now set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had the one with 2 talents come forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and scattering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson that was just read. It's easy to criticize the servant who had only 1 talent, the one who did not provide faithful service. And the text gives him a pretty good tongue-lashing by his master. But does he deserve the punishment? Did he have reasons for his actions? Does he deserve a whipping because the other 2 servants were great stewards of what they had been given? In the first century, when the master of a house would go abroad for whatever reason, he would put only his most entrusted servants in charge of his finances. So the one who was entrusted with 1 talent was no sloth himself. He was one of the more trusted servants. But did the one with just 1 talent deserve to be beaten and thrown out into outer darkness? Well, the first 2 came forward and gave 100% return with their shares. They traded it. In other words, they worked it on a regular basis in order to make more of the talents they had been given. They didn't just put it in the bank and earn interest. They were obedient. They did the master's will. The servant with 1 talent buried his talent in the ground. Burying in the ground was a first century bank account. You could invest it with the bankers, but that was a little dodgy. But if you want to keep your money safe, you put it in a jar and put it in the ground. That's why through archaeology, we find clay jars full of Roman coins or other coins from other countries buried deep in the ground. Somebody put it in the ground to come back for it later. And either they couldn't come back for it later or they just forgot where they had put it. But that was the first century bank account. He generally wanted to protect his master's money. There's a lot worse he could have done with it. He could have wasted it. He could have spent it. He could have been like the prodigal son who took half his father's inheritance, went into a faraway land, and wasted it on wild women, song, and dance. Now, you look at that story, how that one ended when he came back to his father's house, having taken half the inheritance and coming back with nothing in his hands. The father threw a wild party for him. Now, it would almost seem like the parable of the prodigal son, and this one about the talent, the servant with 1 talent, seems to contradict one another, but they don't. They're told to different audiences for a different reason. But did the servant who only had 1 talent really deserve a whipping? Is what he did really that bad? Well, we have to look at what the setting of the parable is. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he was rebuking them for their hardness of heart. They prided themselves on their outward expressions of their faith. Oh, look how good I am. I give a tenth of all I have. Or like the Pharisee in the temple with the tax collector. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like this tax collector here. Jesus calls their faith absolutely pointless. In chapter 24, he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. In chapter 25, he talks about required service to enter the kingdom of God. So what about the servant with 1 talent? Well, we get it very quickly in the text that the master was very upset with him. He blesses the other 2 servants and puts them in charge of more than what they originally had. And he says, enter into the joy of your master. That's the way it works in the world. You do well, you get put in charge of more. The servant with 1 talent gives an insight to why he hid the silver. He said, the text says, and the one who also had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scatter no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." He was afraid of the master's reaction. Based on his false understanding of the master, he did what he thought was right in his own eyes. Fear paralyzes us in life. Some people don't want to talk in front of a large group of people because of fear. Or when you were younger, you were afraid to ask out somebody for fear of rejection. Or afraid to ask other people to come to church with you. The servant with one talent did not want to displease his master. Fear is a powerful force, as it has ever been and is now today. Dr. Covey presents a wonderful story in his book, The Eighth Habit. He tells the story of Max, the sales representative, and Max, the dog. Yes, the two main characters in the story have the same first name. Mr. Harold, the boss, owns Mr. Max, the dog. And he trained him never to leave the borders of the yard. He would lead him right up to the edge of the yard and then instruct the dog never to cross that line. Mr. Harold, the sales representative, realized that there was a procedural change that could cause sales to increase, so he implemented it. Mr. Harold found out, berated him, and told him, "Never do anything that I don't tell you to do first." Well, Mr. Harold was on his boat one day next to his property, and his hat blew off of his head into the water, and Max the dog ran across the yard, crossed the boundary line, leaped into the water, and got the hat. Mr. Harold scolded the dog for leaving the yard to get his hat. The dog learned a lesson: never do what you're not told to do first. Anyway, there was a large party at Mr. Harold's house, and he was on his boat again, and his hat blew off his head into the water. Obviously, he wasn't securing it too tightly for it to keep blowing off this house. But Mr. Max, the sales representative, stepped into the water, and the dog went up to him, pulled his pant leg, and pulled him back to the shore. They had both learned a valuable lesson. They learned to fear the master and only do what was called for. The man with one talent had the same image of his master that Max the dog and Max the employee had of theirs. The master calls a servant with one talent a wicked and evil servant. He says, "At least you could have done was put the money into the bank and earned interest." The master's even going to cast his unfruitful servant into eternal darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and constant pain. The man with one talent is going to get more than just a whipping. The one who deserved the whipping was the ones that were listening to Jesus' parable, the Pharisees. They lacked production in the Jewish nation. God had blessed the nation so richly, but they had not delivered on God's gracious gifts. They had the wrong attitude about God. They saw God as a harsh taskmaster who was legalistic. In today's terms, they would look at God as sitting in his throne with a smite button, just waiting for somebody to do something wrong so he could hit the smite button to punish them. That's the view they had of God. That's why they felt that they had to keep the law as perfectly as they could. They had done nothing valuable with God's gifts. So God was going to take their blessing of them being a special people and give it to the Gentiles, who will share God's word throughout the lands. The Jews will be lost for all of eternity, but the Gentiles will enter into the kingdom of their master. The Jews will lose their place in God's scheme of redemption, and the Gentiles will take their place. That's the message of today's gospel. Paul says in Acts chapter 28, verses 27 and 28, "For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them." God's not writing off the Jews entirely. He says if they return to him, he would heal them. The master of the house rejected them because they had hid their talents. Now he turns to the Gentiles. And in conclusion, God's only interested in working with those that desire to work for him. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.